Welcome to this week's Planet Shakers podcast. Planet Shakers conference presence at our Cape Town, South Africa campus is just a few weeks away, and we can't wait to experience God's presence like never before with you. Our early bird promo ends on the 21st of April, 2024. So head on to register.planetshakers.co.za to register. Now, let's jump into this week's podcast.
In 1 Kings chapter 18, there's a story of Israel had gone into drought. How many know that drought's not a good place to be in? And it was in drought, and it's like it was in a physical drought, but also a spiritual drought. And I look at the Western world, and I actually think the Western world, there's some good things happening, but across the Western world, I think there's a spiritual drought that needs to be broken by God's abundance. Six of you agree with that. I can take you to like Africa, or I can take you to South America, and I can take you to places like Brazil. There's great miracles. Asia's seen some incredible things, but I really feel the Western world needs have an abundance released into it. And Israel was in drought, and one of the reasons is they had intermarried their beliefs. And sometimes we can be Christians but still believe things that aren't godly. We can intermarry our beliefs. And at this time, there was a king of the Philistine. His name was Ahab. And he had married a person called Jezebel. And Jezebel represents a spirit. It's not a person. It's a spirit, right? And the Bible says the church that deals with the Jezebel spirit will be given the morning star. And the morning star is a manifest presence of God. What is the spirit of Jezebel? It's intimidation, it's manipulation and control. And that's the devil's plan, is to intimidate you, manipulate you and control you. And so this was the situation. And the prophet Elijah gets to a point that he says, okay, we need a demonstration for this intimidation. And so in 1 Kings 18, it says this, it says, and Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord, he is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people answered not a word. So the first thing I want us to understand is if we're going to live the abundant life, we need to choose the abundant life and not waver between two opinions. Not waver between what our circumstances say compared to what our Savior says. Not waver between what culture says than what Christ says. Not wavering between our feelings and our faith. So it says, how long will you waver between two opinions, falter between opinions? If God is God, then follow him. My encouragement to us is, at Calvary, Jesus said, it is finished. He rose 3 days later and rose again. He took the keys of death and of hell. He is God, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says to us that I've come to give you abundant life. He said the devil will try to steal from you. He'll try to kill you. He'll try to take from you. But I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So don't waver between the opinions of the enemy and the opinion of God. Make him God over your belief systems. So what happens is they go up there and he builds an altar. What's an altar? It's a place of sacrifice. It's a place of worship. We need to constantly say, God, it's not my life. My life is a living sacrifice to you. And then what they did is they put on the altar the sacrifice, and then they poured gallons and gallons of water on the altar. Remember, it's drought, so what is valuable and precious in drought is what? Water, right? So what he did is says, okay, I'm going to show your God by giving to you what is valuable and precious. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there is your heart. So when you give your heart to God and what is precious to you and valuable to you, and you put it on the altar of sacrifice, God does miracles. So then, after pouring the water, he called on God and fire came. And the prophets of Baal were destroyed, but the people of God, the Israelites, fell on their faces and they bowed before the Lord and they cried, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." You would think that was the end of the story, but we're not talking about a God that just saves you from sin and hell. We're talking about a God who heals you, who delivers you, who sets you free, who gives you a hope and a future, who supplies all your needs according to His riches and glory. He'll pour out such a blessing that you won't be able to contain it. This is the God we serve. They bow. But see, the people, after bowing, they were still in drought. You know, you can become a Christian, but still not see or access abundance because of just saying, well, this is good enough. No, there's more. That's why we sing that song. We want more, we want more. Fill us again. Why? What are we saying we want more of? Jesus lives in me. I have everything I need according to his presence, but I want to access his glory. I want to know him. I want to honor his presence. I want to sense him more. I want to empower him in my life more. So they saw a miracle, but they were still in drought. And so many people see miracles but still live in drought. They live in the dryness of their life, but God doesn't want you to live in the dryness of your life. You might have some change happen, but He wants you to access abundance. How do you access abundance? We see what happens in this story. Elijah goes up higher. He goes up higher and he begins to praise. In other words, he went up higher. He went up higher in the spiritual realm, but he positioned himself lower. In other words, he became humble and says, "God, I need you." If we're going to see the abundance of rain in our life and the abundance of God in our life, we need to go up higher in our belief and we need to go lower in ourselves. Paul puts it, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." We die to ourselves. We don't put our dependency on ourselves. We put our dependency upon our God. And God puts in our lives the ability to multiply, to replenish, to subdue and have dominion. But that dependency multiplies through Him. And so he went up higher, but he positioned lower. And so there he is, and he's in the prayer. He's praying. The Bible says he's had his head between his knees, and he has a servant, and he says to his servant, because he said this, I hear the sound of rain. I hear the abundance of the sound of rain. We'll read it to you. 1 Kings 18, verse 41. It says, "And Elijah said, go to Ahab, go and eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain." I'm here to tell you, I can hear a sound in the spirit of the abundance of rain. I can hear a sound that God's about to release an outpouring like we've never experienced before. I was talking about this the other day. It's like when God spoke to us about abundance and we've released what God wants to say for the year. And all through Scripture, it talks about abundance. The amazing stuff that Dr. Clayton spoke of the other day and Pastor Scott. But what I felt is I can feel the spiritual activity intensify. The enemy doesn't like you saved, but he can get, if you're saved but not living in abundance, he's half happy. He doesn't want you saved and blessed. Because the very right reason you were made by God was to be blessed. The Bible says, "And God made man and he made woman and he blessed them." And he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and have dominion. So God created us to live in abundance, to live a life of abundance. That doesn't mean we don't go through challenges and we don't go through dryness, but we can still have abundance in those seasons. That's why last year, overwhelming victory, it says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours. So what I feel is I can feel the opposition in the spirit, and the enemy might just have some things happening, but I feel like as a church, we understand overwhelming victory is ours, and we understand now that we're going to possess the abundance of what Christ has done. So no matter what the devil does, John 10:10, come to steal, kill, and destroy. We're going to live in the promises of God, and Jesus comes, and he comes to give life and life more abundantly. But the way to do that is to go up higher, be more dependent, and come into agreement. It took two people in this story to see rain, not one. There was the prophet Elijah and his servant. And so there he is, and prophet's praying, I've heard the sound of the abundance of rain. And he says to his servant, go and have a look. So he goes for a run and has a look, and he sees nothing, and he runs back, and Elijah hasn't moved. But because there's agreement, he's there, and Elijah says, any rain? He says, no rain. He says, go again. Imagine if the servant says, no, you go. I'm not going. I'm leaving. I'm going lower. No. He says, okay. And he starts running. And he gets there, and he looks again, and there's no rain, and he runs back, and he says, any rain? No rain. We'll go again. See, you understand that there are times that you might feel dry in your life. You might feel you're not seeing the breakthrough in your life. You're not seeing the answers to your prayers like you thought you'd have at that moment. But my encouragement to you is, it is finished. Jesus said it on the cross. So go have a look again. Go look again. Go believe again. Go pray again. Go ask again. Go again. Yeah, but I got disappointed. Get up off the ground. Dust yourself off. I'm tired. We'll keep running. So it goes again. Third time. He's like, you know. See, a lot of people go, well, I prayed once. It didn't work. I prayed twice. Well, I prayed three times. No, the Bible teaches us how to pray. He says, be like the persistent widow who kept knocking at the unjust judge's door. There was a persistence in her. Why? Because she understood her position, that God was her blessing, her freedom, her provision. If we understand that, if we persist and keep believing and coming to agreement, God will do what he promised. Four times. Sometimes people after the fourth time go, if they ask me again, I'm going to find another church that doesn't ask me to keep looking. I just want to go to those churches that I just attend. God never called you just to attend a church. He called you to be a disciple of Christ. Disciples attend. Attenders don't always get discipled. A lot of churches are filled with attenders, but it doesn't mean there's disciples. God created the church for the disciple, not the consumer. The disciple. And disciples are people who come into agreement and go looking even when they see nothing. Fifth time. No. Go again. Sixth time. Seventh time. O-M-Y. Some of you thought it's going to say OMG. It's Old Testament. O-M-Y. Oh my Yahweh. He looks, takes his glasses off, and he's like, I see a cloud the size of a man's fist. And he runs back, and he's like, Elijah, Pastor Elijah, yes, I saw a cloud. Tell me about the cloud. Well, how big was it? Well, it was the size of a man's fist. And some of us have belittled the small things that God has shown us. Oh, God, I thought you were big God, but you're only doing a small thing. A seed is a small thing. But it creates a tree, which then creates multiples of seeds that become a diaspora that flow and then become forests. out of a seed. The Bible says you just have to have faith the size of a mustard seed. It might seem small. It might seem like an insignificant breakthrough, or it might seem a small breakthrough. I'm here to tell you there are forests coming your way. It might seem like it's a broken seed. It might seem like it's a dry seed. There is an outpouring coming your way. You see, it might be a small cloud, but out of a small cloud comes big clouds, and big clouds release big rain. I remember I was preaching on rain because this is a sermon that I preach around the world, but this one I've changed a little bit for us today. And I remember I was preaching in Manchester, and it was summer, and in Europe, summer's really good because it goes dark really late. But it was really humid. We're at this youth conference. It was a 2-week youth conference, one conference 1 week, another conference the next week. And I was preaching on rain, and we're in this room that was hardly air conditioned, had this door open to the side. And when we drove to the meeting, it was all blue sky. And in the middle of my sermon, I say, I hear the abundance of the sound of rain over the UK. And all of a sudden, there was a thunder strike. There was a thunder outside, and it began to pour on the roof and began to rain. So I don't know why I did this, but I ran outside to the rain and I stood with my mic and I said, come outside, it's raining out here. I'm here to tell you there's rain coming, and you need to get out of what you're doing and where you are and get under the rain and let God come and refresh you. It was so cool. The next week, I'm preaching the same sermon because it's a different conference, and I thought, I'm going to try it again. And I said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain, and nothing happened. Moral of the story is, don't make a ministry out of mud. You say, what do you mean? Jesus put mud in someone's eye. Not every miracle from then was a mud ministry miracle. And many times we see God answer a prayer, and then we put our trust in the process instead of the person of the Holy Spirit. We put ourselves into the system instead of the Savior, instead of the Spirit. And so many times we see a breakthrough in one area and we try the same. And God says, no, I've given you a breakthrough for that moment, but I'm going to give you another breakthrough, and you've got to hear my voice. So he says, run. It says here in verse 44, it says, and then it came to pass the seventh time. And then he said, it's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and go down the mountain before the rain, go down before the rain stops you. And now it happened in that meantime, the sky became black with clouds, with wind, and there was a heavy rain. What did he do? He prepared. He ran in preparation. I'm here to encourage you. Get ready for an outpouring. They were in the upper room. They were in preparation for their assignments. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The upper room wasn't some accident. It wasn't just some random. They were waiting. They were preparing for an outpouring. Prepare your business for an outpouring. Prepare your family for an outpouring. Prepare your finances for an outpouring. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Get ready, because you might say it seems small at the moment. I'm telling you, there is coming an outpouring of the Spirit of God. Because there's an abundance of rain, and then the drought ends. I'm here to encourage you today. The drought, you might feel dry. But by the way, everything is, contextual, because what some seasons you think is abundance, the next season of abundance, that seems small to what is now. What seemed like a great outpouring now is just a man's fist, because what God's doing in the future is greater. And then what happens here, when you see what God's about to do over there, because this is how God works. He goes from level to level, glory to glory. So I was telling the staff this, and I was telling them, I said, look, if we can, and I'm talking to me, if we can get this revelation that Jesus come to give life and life to the full, not just to save us, but to give us life and life to the full. Because Jesus just didn't die on the cross, he resurrected. The cross is amazing, but the empty tomb is the fulfillment. Yeah. See, God just doesn't want you to be saved. He wants you to be saved and blessed. So I was talking to the staff about this, and Rudy came to me and he says, oh, I was listening to a podcast by Leif Hetland, and they told about this place in Chile, which is a desert that they say is one of the driest, if not the driest place in the world. And what happens is it's dry, and you look at the ground and you think it's barren and there's nothing happened. But this seed it's so hot, the seed has broken. But what happens is there comes an outpouring of rain every 3 to 10 years, and it creates what you call a super bloom. And it takes this dry place that you thought nothing was in, and there's an outpouring comes upon it, and it creates a super bloom of flowers and plants, over 200 flowers and plants, different categories of flowers and plants. The ecosystem changes, all the insects and all that. It changes because of an outpouring. But it changes because in the seed is broken to multiply. Some of you feel like at times you feel broken. Why am I broken? You're just getting ready for a multiplication. So let's show this. This is the desert there. And then what happens after the rain, this is what it looks like. That's what it looks like after the rain. It goes from the desert, go again, desert. Go back to the desert. After the rain, that's what happens. So let's run that video. Seemed dry, but you know what? There's a whole field of dry places, dry seeds, and when the rain came, it raised up beauty. The super bloom came, the super abundance came, the ecosystem changed. And I'm here to encourage you today. There's an abundance of rain about to come into your situation. There's an abundance of rain about to come into your family. You say, I feel like I'm broken. I feel like I have nothing. But I'm telling you, God turns the dry places into flourishing places. And here's the thing, you're in a place where beauty upon beauty, you go to another level. Why? Because it's not just one flower, it's all heaps of flowers, all heaps of seed together that God puts together and creates His beauty to be seen. I'm here to encourage you today. There is a sound of abundance of rain coming to your place, coming to your family, and coming to your life. Doesn't matter what you've gone through, it doesn't matter where you've been. You might feel like a broken seed, you might feel like things are dry, but when God pours out His Spirit, when God takes His rain and brings an abundance rain, the drought is broken, the drought is broken, the drought is broken, and you step into a super bloom, a super bloom. So when we give praise for what God's doing, when we give praise for what He's done, when we give praise, oh, I can hear the sound. Yeah. You know, I was preparing for our leaders' meeting the other day, and my TikTok came on, I spoke about it is finished on the cross. Jesus said it is finished. That means it's paid in full. It's paid in full. debt has been paid in full. Sin has been paid in full. Sickness has been paid in full. It also means that it's finished. It's like a legal thing that the contract's done. It's finished. No one can reopen it. It's done. But the devil tries us to get us in the mindset. He comes to steal, kill and destroy. And some of us in our thinking are wavering in our opinions. But we got to have an it is finished mindset. And how do you have an it is finished mindset? Your speech needs to be victorious. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's power in your mouth, right? But thanksgiving and thankfulness, keeping that thanksgiving and thankfulness, no matter what happens. And so I was listening, I looked at my TikTok and this old song came up. And it's a song called Give Thanks. And it says, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because it is given. Jesus Christ, His Son. And then in the next bit, it goes, let the weak, the dry, the barren, it seems like it's the seed is broken. Let the weak say, my prayer, my declaration releases something into the spiritual realm to release an abundance. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. But it comes through a thankful heart. Comes through a heart that says, God, you've been good to me. God, you've saved me. God, you've set me free. You've given me a hope and a future. You picked me up from the miry clay. When I stumble and I get up again, you're there at my right hand. You comfort me. You strengthen me. You are the person who when they're walking, that Peter and walking to the gate, beautiful, and the guy's asking for silver and gold, but they said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And they reached down with their right hand, the hand of agreement and authority, and they lifted him up, and he began to dance and praise and thanks God. He stood at the gate, beautiful, but never went in until somebody understood that they had abundant life, until somebody understood that the God who has won and said it is finished, who defeated the grave, who defeated hell, says, hey, come on, rise up and walk. Your ankles might be weak, you might be seen that feels broken, but when my reign comes, I empower you to be the person you've called to be. It is abundant life.
Thanks for joining us today. I hope that your faith was filled and you were encouraged. If you have any prayer requests or want to connect with us further, search for us on our social media at Planet Shakers. We'd love to hear from you.